Good morning. I would like to call the House Ways and Means Committee to order finally. Today is April 1st, 2023. Let the record reflect that it is, looks like 9:32 from the clock on the wall. Today we have present Speaker Tilton, Representative McKay, Representative Groh, Representative Gray, and myself, Chair Carpenter. We also have Representative Kronk in the audience and Senator Myers with us as well. Thank you, gentlemen, for being here. And just so that everybody online waiting to testify during public testimony is aware, we are having some technical difficulties today, and that is the reason for the delay in getting started. I'd just like to remind everyone to silence their cell phones. Today, we have Kevin Allen with House Records and Zachary Lawhorn with the LIO to help us with the technical piece, and Kendra Broussard is my committee aide, will be helping us with all other committee tasks. Today we'll be taking public testimony on the topic of a long-term fiscal plan. We have been having discussions these last few months over different aspects of the 2021 Fiscal Policy Working Group and bringing forward some specific pieces of legislation that we would be able to take action on as a legislature. So it's important to hear the public's input on what the public feels is important, and that's what we're doing today, is taking public testimony on this. So I would like to remind the public of the bills and resolutions that are before this committee. If you're able to see on the screen, if you're watching us on the internet, the screen is up with a list of the bills and resolutions that we have. In the category of settling the PFD, we've got three resolutions. They are House Joint Resolution 7, 8, and 9. The House Joint Resolution 7, in summary, basically says that the state shall pay a PFD according to statute. No percentages or formulas are added to the Constitution, and it has a companion piece of legislation from that is House Bill 11 that I'll talk 110 that I will talk to here in a minute. House Joint Resolution 8 is a constitutional amendment that puts both the 5% of market value and the 21% of net earnings into the Constitution, those two formulas into the Constitution, and then 50% of either of those, whichever is greater, would be transferred to the PFD program every year. House Joint Resolution 9 simply states that the legislature may appropriate 5% of the market value of the permanent fund to the state budget for appropriations. Both House Joint Resolution 8 and 9 move the earnings reserve account into the corpus of the fund. For accountability and efficient, I'm sorry, I didn't cover that bills. So House Bill 72 is a statutory change that splits the permanent fund value, the 5% of permanent fund value, in a 25-75, 25 to the dividend program, and 75% to government spending. House Bill 90 simply sets the dividend at $1,000. And then House Bill 110 establishes the 5% of market value draw and a 50-50 split of the 5%. And as currently written, also transfers the dividend program from Department of Revenue to the Permanent Fund Corporation. The accountability and efficient spending piece. We've got one resolution and one bill before us. House Joint Resolution 2 is a constitutional appropriation limit that rewrites our current constitutional limit and establishes a 14% of the state's GDP, non-government GDP. And it has a companion piece of legislation that is House Bill 38. So that is an appropriation limit as well, that it works in conjunction with the modified constitutional limit and establishes a 11% statutory limit. Under the economic growth section here, we have House Bill 109 that is reducing the corporate income tax rate from the highest rate of 9% down to a single flat rate of 2%. And for discussion, we have two carbon bills that are not before the committee, but are part of the governor's ask. And so we've included them here for conversations and how they might impact a long-term fiscal plan. And those are House Bill 49 and 50. And they're dealing with the carbon offset and program and the carbon storage program. Under the category of revenue generation for government, we have one bill before us, and that is House Bill 142. That is a implement a state sales and use tax. That is a 2% statewide sales tax. That is a broad-based tax. So those are the bills that are before us. If you want to read the bills, you can go on to the akleg.gov, that's akleg.gov website. Search for the Ways and Means Committee. There's a special committee, House Special Committee on Ways and Means. And all of these bills are listed underneath that committee, and you can read the exact language of the bills at your leisure. So without further ado, let's move to public testimony. I know that we have a few folks that have been waiting very patiently, and I want to thank you for that. And it looks like our technology might be up and working now. Great. So let's go first to Herman Morgan. If you are still on the phone, will you please introduce yourself and begin your two-minute testimony?
Yeah, morning, Chairman Carpenter, members of the committee. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you, sir. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I thank you for hearing us. I think your lawmakers need to understand that Alaska is at a crossroads right now, and continuing on this path of excessive big government spending, especially with federal money, is destroying Alaska's economy. Billions are spent on education with disastrous results. Give the $2 billion of the PS money back to private hands and watch Alaska's economy come roaring back to life. Students can put away PhDs for higher education. Shut down and revamp Alaska lobbyists' led failed education system, lowest test scores in the nation. Remove all dependence on NEA and other lobbyists, UAA, etc. Tell them they can go home now. If the whole Alaska education system was not providing education, then why should Persian tourists still be given for the last 9 years? Use that money instead to establish charter schools and vocational education centers in hub villages like in Seward. Antioch used to have one. Bring back to villages carpentry, home ec classes from UAA. Rehire retired teachers to work with and train new graduates in classrooms to teach them the same classroom that used to be taught with the same books, not with the new woke ideology typed out in school and libraries and online. Since the students were being indoctrinated and not being taught the 3 hours for the past 9 years, Common Core, they deserve compensation. Say $100,000 apiece to use for higher education, get a re-GED. Perhaps those wrongly indoctrinated in a devastating LGBTQ lifestyle can receive a financial compensation, an apology, and right counseling. Another major issue is invasion of foreigners putting the borders, taking Alaskan jobs, while many Alaskans ticked off the job for refusing and now come to light as a deadly non-back. Wake up, folks. Foreign countries are emptying their insane asylums, prisons into U.S. Alaska. Alaska cannot support them all. Alaska and Alaska needs to come first. Anything else is treason. How many thousands of foreign troops are probably here? Military and corporate state boards and compensation being taken about ESG workology. I'm almost done here. 30% living off welfare and most of the economic sector in state and federal employee money. Take back Alaska federal control of private government and give back to Alaska citizens. We're under attack with globalism, you guys. You need to pray and ask God for guidance in Christ Jesus' name, because you keep doing what you're being led to. And you should listen to private people instead of these people who have financial gain, and you really understand what's going on and how Alaska is. You guys, don't stop this this budget you're doing now. Alaska is going to be lost. Thank you for hearing my concerns.
Thank you, Mr. Morgan, for calling in today. I appreciate your participation. Next up, we have Madeline Grant calling from Anchorage. Madeline, if you can hear me, can you please introduce yourself by giving us your name and begin your two-minute testimony?
Yeah, my name is Madeline Grant. I'm a long-term resident of Anchorage. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you just fine. Please proceed.
Great. So I'm calling specifically to Resident B 142. First, I'm thankful because as a long-term resident, it's pretty clear that we have a fiscal crisis with declining oil revenues and lack of other revenues. So I'm really glad that this is being discussed. However, I'm very concerned that the sales tax, because it is broad-based, will be really inequitable, particularly for the villages and the rural communities where grocery prices are all up, as we know, but they're much, much higher in the villages for just basic things like eggs and milk. So I encourage the legislature not to support this broad-based sales tax and to consider a income tax, which would be more equitable and also would get the many people who work in fisheries and in oil and in my field in medicine who actually don't live here but come here and earn revenues and then go to their home states but don't contribute to Alaska. That's what I have to say. Thank you very much for all your work.
Thank you, Ms. Grant, for your participation this morning. Next, we'll go to Rosalind Grady Wyke. And forgive me if I, maybe that's Wilk.
It's okay.
Please, please give us your name for the record and where you're calling from and begin your 2-minute testimony.
Actually, Rosalind Wyke. I am a long-term resident of Anchorage. I'm calling with the concern of the sales tax. I just think about, I just ask that you put on your equity lens when it comes to discussing this topic. The lady before me spoke very well about why. I would add to the conversation just the thought of the crisis we're going through right now with even being able to purchase food here in the city of Anchorage, along with the villages, I'm sure, as well as being able to get food stamps. Like, I would just ask that you put on your equity lens when it comes to discussing that, and I would ask you to oppose it and look towards thinking about the income tax. I know that my prior legislator was always talking to us about an income tax right here in Mountain View and just how that would potentially benefit us. And so that's pretty much all I have to say. I'm excited to just listen in on all the conversation and ask you guys to look towards that. Thank you.
Thank you, Rosalind, for calling in today and participating. Next up, we have Sarah Dykstra. Ma'am, if you were on the line, can you please introduce yourself by giving us your name and where you're calling from and begin your 2-minute testimony?
Yes, hi. Thank you. My name is Sarah Dykstra. I'm calling in from Anchorage. I am a mom of 2 young kids, a 4 and almost 7-year-old, so I hope you don't hear my background. Thanks for taking my testimony today, and I know you guys have had some technical issues. I'm calling because I've been here about 10 years in Alaska, and we are currently making decisions about what the next 10 years looks for, like for us here with our kids. I want to be in a state where there is a solid fiscal plan, where I know that things are, services are funded, that our community is taken care of. I'm actually very much in support of a tax. My husband and I both work. We can pay more. I've testified before in front of committee saying, please tax me. I have more to give to the state and services than I want to. The sales tax is not the way to do it, though. I'm really worried about, as the other testifiers have said, the inequity of this. My family, personally, we can afford to buy eggs right now. I can afford to buy blackberries and raspberries for my boys if I want to, but not everyone can. A sales tax would really impact that. A progressive income tax would be much more equitable, would allow us to gather taxes from out-of-state workers, and would really help us put on, ourselves on a plan towards fiscal stability. So I strongly support a progressive income tax, and I'm really opposed to a sales tax as we look towards our sustainable fiscal plan.
Thank you, Sarah, for your testimony today. Appreciate you taking time to participate. And let's see, we have John Hessert is also online with us. John, if you can hear me, can you please introduce yourself by giving us your name and where you're calling from and begin your 2-minute testimony?
John Hessert, I'm calling from the Willow area, South Heat area. And, you know, I agree with the other people. I've heard three different women speak in terms of why I feel sex is bad. People all kind of highlighted the issue where they think it would broaden the opportunity gap between the rich and poor, and it would be something that would impact the poor more because, you know, et cetera. You know, they've all covered it. I don't need to read. I agree with them. I don't think, though, all three of them mentioned that they think, income tax is the answer, and I don't think that's the answer either. I think Alaska is sort of the land of the free, still, and it's something that's not heavily taxed. You look at states like Washington State or California, where they're taxing everything, and it's getting to the point where it might be even stimulating, you know, the economic growth and discouraging people from starting or opening businesses in the state. In terms of, you know, making a long-term future plan, which is an issue Alaska obviously faces with a lot of people leaving to, you know, grow families elsewhere, et cetera, et cetera. You know, and I think that's documented through studies in the university, et cetera. So I didn't think, you know, I think, in other words, yes, agreeing with everything that they're saying, I think the sales tax is bad, but, you know, an income tax is bad too, you know, and that's going to really damage economic growth over the long run for the state. And so, you know, that's not the answer either, I think. Just to point that out and add that to the conversation, it shouldn't be an either or. It should be just, you know, we should appreciate the fact that there is, you know, everything's already expensive in Alaska, and everything is already difficult to do because of the logistics and because of the remoteness compared to elsewhere in the lower 48. So I'm not sure, just, I think it's a really bad idea. Just the sales tax is the topic, and that should wrap up because I know there's only limited time. So that's it.
Thank you, Mr. Hessert, for your participation today and your comments. And we do not have any other callers in the queue at the moment, so we will take a at ease and come off the record for a minute and we'll just wait and see if there are others that want to call in and participate. So at ease. Okay, we're back on the record. We have someone in the queue here. Miss Monica Ritter can hear me. If you can introduce yourself, give us your name, where you're calling from, and begin your two-minute testimony, we would appreciate it. Miss Ritter, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. You're clear to go ahead. Give us your two-minute testimony.
Thank you. My name is Monica Ritter. I'm a resident of Juneau, and I'm calling from Juneau, a resident for 48 years. And I'm calling to put my two bits in about the fiscal plan. Thank you to the committee for taking steps on addressing our state's fiscal problems. And although I'm glad we're finally open to revenues, I'm concerned that a sales tax is not the way to go. I think a sales tax is better kept at the local level, since each community can decide what's right for them based on their cost of living. And I think that a statewide level income tax is more fair and I think a better way to raise government revenue. I feel like things are being rushed. And just because we have a fiscal problem, it doesn't mean we should rush to a less beneficial solution, which I think a sales tax is a less better solution. Thank you for letting me testify, and thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Ms. Ritter, for calling in and participating today. I surely appreciate it. Okay, we are clear in the queue, so we will go back on at ease for see if there's anybody else that's calling. Okay, we're back on the record with House Ways and Means. And for those that are watching, I just want to throw out the phone numbers here. If you're in Anchorage, you can call in to public testimony at area code 907-563-9085. Again, it's 907-563-9085. If you're in Juneau, you can call in at 907-586-9085. And toll-free from outside of those two areas, 844-586-9085. Today we have, looks like, Patrick Race calling in wanting to provide some testimony. Sir, if you can hear me, can you please give us your name and where you're calling from and provide your two-minute testimony?
Sure. Yes. For the record, my name is Pat Race. I'm calling from Juneau, and I'm just here representing myself today. It's my understanding you're taking commentary on the entire shape of the fiscal plan, so I'll speak to that. I think that the structural deficit that we face in Alaska is a big problem. It impacts a lot of other decision making, and I'd love to see it resolved. Several years ago, Larry Pursley wrote an op-ed that said the way to solve this problem was, it's like if we're all standing on a bridge and we're kind of egging each other to jump off, the answer is that we all jump at once. And it feels that right now we've got kind of a few user groups that have jumped ahead of everyone else. We've seen PFD cuts that have impacted low-income Alaskans more than wealthy Alaskans. We've seen cuts to services that have impacted low-income Alaskans more than wealthy Alaskans. And we've seen municipal cost shifting, which has impacted the ability for municipal governments to provide services. What we haven't seen is we haven't seen a tax on wealthy Alaskans in the form of an income tax. I think that would be a much better solution than a sales tax. An income tax with a reasonable floor that is tied to I think specific wage percentage, like maybe like an 80th percentile of wages or something like that would be a good floor, so that it grows as inflation grows and doesn't remain stagnant. Alaska used to have an income tax, and we've had, you know, what is it, a 44-year tax holiday. So I think it's important that we recognize that we have a mutual obligation to our state, and that it's, you know, our state is in dire need that we need to help out. The other user group that hasn't been impacted yet is the oil companies. They were given a very generous tax law, and some of that money needs to be clawed back or explained. There's a bill in the Senate right now that I support. And so I think in terms of getting to a solution, yes, we need to lock down the PFD and decide what that is so it doesn't become a budget item for every year. I liked Senator Hoffman's plan of doing something like a 75-25 that steps up to a 50-50. I think that that's sort of the direction I would like to go. I'd like to see an income tax. I'd like to see increased taxation of oil companies or some ring fencing put in place so that the credits are not leaking out of the state. And I'd love to see I'd just love to see attention to this problem, and thank you all for spending your time on it.
Thank you, Mr. Race, for providing your testimony today. Appreciate it, and appreciate your well-spoken analysis of the situation. Okay, looks like we have no more callers in the queue at this moment, so we'll take it at ease. Okay, we are back on the record on House Ways and Means. We are about at the end of our meeting here. Just wanted to speak briefly about the next week. We have two meetings noticed, both Monday and Wednesday of next week, where we will be discussing the fiscal plan and the modeling that we would like to do. However, next week is budget week in the House, and so we will be taking up the budget bills, the budget bill and amendments on the floor, and that may limit the amount of time we have for committee meetings on Monday and Wednesday next week. So I would ask those folks who are paying attention and want to participate to check on the website. We will hold the meetings if we can, and if we are on the floor, then the meetings will be canceled, and we will notify everyone on the website that the meetings have been canceled. So there is no more business to come before the committee today, so we will be adjourned as of 11 a.m.